And now we present London Broadcasting's Christmas pantomime, Tune Again, Whittington.
LBC proudly presents Tune Again, Whittington, the story of Richard Whittington, who went to London town to make his fortune and ended up running the world's first commercial radio station, and his faithful cat, Janet Street Porter.
I'm refusing to play this part as an animal because I think they've missed the point in this pantomime. The point of pantomimes is that the male lead is always played by a woman. Therefore, I shall be playing Paul Callan's part and not the part of a cat. And I'm not going to make the noise that cats make because it's degrading to women anyway. And it's especially degrading to me because I've got a double-barreled name and Paul Cullen hasn't.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, we don't seem to have that pussy. Never mind, let's try a studio cat.
Meow.
Thank you. Our story begins in a little village a long way from London in the middle of the Middle Ages. In those days, it took a long, long while to travel to London. Not as long as it does today, but long enough. And as the sun comes up, we hear the villagers come happily out of their houses to greet another day with a cheerful song.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
But in the house where young Dick Whittington lives, there's no sound. Is there some mystery here, some dark secret? Let us come closer and listen.
Dick? Dick?
Sit, you lazy rascal. Come and have your breakfast.
What?
Now, bird song, please. Right, I think we're ready to start. Nice little tune, that. Out of copyright, too. That means we don't have to pay any money to use it. Every bit of economy helps, you know, when you're putting on a radio pantomime. It could easily have filled in this hour with two people droning away about the fuel crisis or Christmas. But no, we've gone to the incredible expense of putting on a whole panto for you. With scenery, lights, costume, and everything. That haystack just now, for instance, think that was cheap? You should try laying on a haystack for radio. Well, admittedly, we haven't got a real haystack in the studio here, just a tape recording of a real haystack, but, well, tape recordings of haystacks don't grow on trees. We had to go out and record five men shifting a real haystack. Well, to be more accurate, actually, we got five men into the studio and pretend to shift a real haystack, but once you've added up the expense of writing five letters saying, "Dear John, would you please come to the studio and pretend to move a haystack," and, well, the stamps and the envelopes and everything, well, it mounts up pretty quickly. In this particular case, we just had one man recorded five times. Me, actually. Did you like it? I thought it was rather effective. Pretty cheap, too. I was doing it for nothing. Still, that's enough about me. Let's get back to the story. Oh, yes, we left Dick out in the field, in the calm and quiet of medieval England.
Damn juggernaut farm wagons! Go back to Flanders, where you came from.
It is a scene of quiet content and drowsy summer. The villagers are all out, busy harvesting corn.
I say. What did Robin Hood call the smallest room in the house?
I don't know. What did Robin Hood call the smallest room in the house?
The Little John.
Yes, it was a good year for corn. Only one person is not hard at work. In a ditch, under a hedge, sits young Dick Whittington, dreaming of faraway London. Dick was a tall, handsome, dreamy, debonair, striking youth. But in our version, he's played by Paul Callan.
Oh, Janet, I'm so fed up with life in the village. There's nothing here at all for me. I just don't want to spend the rest of my days clocking up the field at sunrise and clocking out again at sunset, filling in the jousting pools on Wednesday and going down to that utterly boring tavern on Saturday night for a spot of wassail. You know, Janet, I just want to go to London where the streets are paved with gold. I want to make my fortune.
But nobody understood poor Dick. His father didn't understand him. His mother didn't understand him.
Die einzige Sache, die ich brauche, ist die Freiheit.
I don't understand you, Dick.
So you see, Janet, I've just simply got to go to London. If I go to London, I can become somebody big. I can climb to the top. I can make lots and lots of money. Then I can retire to the country and sit in a ditch for the rest of my life.
No.
Oh, I know what you're thinking, Janet. You're thinking that I'm sitting in a ditch already, but there's a difference here, you see. To begin with, I'd be able to afford waterproof breeches and wrote off to the Chancellor of the Exchequer. I sometimes wonder what the post is coming to in this country. First class mail is supposed to arrive within the year. It never does.
Yeah.
What? Yes, there is someone coming. It looks like a postman. I wonder if...
Excuse me, lad. Got a letter here you might be able to help me with.
Why? Is the address illegible?
I wouldn't know about that. I can't read myself.
Well, let's have a look. Squire. The ditch. Squire Grimley's hedge, near the crooked tree. Not far from the spotted cow. Hard by the old... Hey, it's for me, from the Chancellor.
Ah, well, that's 4 groats to pay, then.
4 groats?
Ah, rate of postage has gone up 4 times since the letter was posted.
Here you are, then.
Thanks. Will there be an answer?
Well, let's see what it says first. Dear Mr. Whittington, the Chancellor of the Exchequer... Please turn over. Oh, he does have big writing. Thanks you for your letter in which you ask... new page. If we can use an honest young lad. Sadly, we do not have a vacancy at the moment for an honest young lad. New page. However, please apply again if at any time you should prove to be a dishonest middle-aged man. In view of the paper shortage, I'd be grateful if you could give this letter back to the postman for return to me. Oh, God, postman, this letter's got to go back to London now.
Oh, blimey, I've only just come from there.
Really? Then maybe you can help me. Does it take one long to get to London?
A lad like you could easily do it within the year. Always assuming you don't run into something nasty like highwaymen or civil war or the plague or the Cheviot.
What happens if you run into the Cheviot?
Means you're going the wrong way.
Dick wended his weary way home across the fields. I must say, that is a nice tune. What do you lads call it?
Well, man, yeah, we don't really call it anything, man. See, we just kind of made it up, see? And, what is it? And we haven't yet got any good notions for title, but Big Will there on the loot said he's working on an idea for a name. What was that, man?
Well, man, I thought I'd call it Big Sleeve.
Yeah, but don't seem... don't quite seem right to my way of thinking.
You all right, man?
Yeah.
Well, keep working on it, lads. Meanwhile, Dick and his faithful cat Janet have returned home, where Dick's father and mother are waiting so they can start the evening meal.
Oh, I say, what's for supper, Mother? Oh, not turnips again.
No, turnips are out this year. What would you say to some nice sweets?
I'd say. Do you really have the highest suicide rate in Europe?
I don't understand you, Dick. Say good evening to your father.
Good evening, Father.
We are very pleased to announce that to play the part of Dick's father, we have secured at great expense, and the money will be coming soon, sir. We have secured the one and only Lord Olivier.
Have you had an awfully good day, Father?
Now sit down and eat your supper. Have you heard from the Chancellor of the Exchequer yet?
Oh, yes.
What do you say?
Well, he doesn't want me.
There you are. I told you. There's no point in going to London. Why don't you settle down in the country like us? Marry a nice girl, catch the Black Death and die like flies. What do you say, Father? There you are.
The part of Lord Olivier is being played at very short notice by our economics commentator, Nicholas Faith, who has kindly agreed to leave his Christmas to take part in this production. Our economics commentator, Nicholas Faith, is currently appearing in a rather stupid paper hat.
Oh, it's no good. Even if the Chancellor can't give me a job, I still want to go to London. I just can't stay on forever in this godforsaken village, slaving away at my chores.
Chores? I like that. What chores, may I ask?
Well, that's very kind of you, Mother. I have a pint of mead, please. Oi.
I don't understand you, Dick. What do you say, Father?
I think the lad should go to London, sink his money into English French war bonds, get out while the market's up with his patriotism bit, then bat his new gunpowder thing, clean up when the government takes it up, and come back home to buy the new house. Get up with a fortune within 6 months.
Oh, what do you know about it?
What do you ask?
Shut up and eat your supper.
But when Dick went to bed that night and lay alone in his little garret, with Janet, his faithful cat, he fell asleep and dreamed of all the things he would achieve in London and of all the wonderful people he would meet there.
Hello, good evening, and welcome. Tonight, live from London, we bring you the fabulous and super Dick Whittington Show. And Dick's guests tonight on the show are the super best-selling author, Geoffrey Chaucer. TUC Secretary, Wat Tyler. And the famous Italian pop artiste, Mike Angelo. And law and order champion, the super, the extravagant, the Sheriff of Nottingham. And now, here to welcome his guest is your favourite host, it's Dick Whittington.
Janet, I'm awfully sorry. Did I kick you? Oh, I was having the most marvellous dream.
Well,
by some miracle, to speak into other people's homes, and you just wouldn't believe me.
Meow.
All right, let's go back to sleep. You're right, I suppose.
The next morning, Dick was woken by a familiar sound. I should like to announce at this point that our switchboard here at LBC has been jammed solid for 10 minutes by listeners wanting to know if Janet is ever going to say anything but
meow.
I can assure you that we do realize the strength of Janet's switchboard's following, and we are anxious to do our best. So I'm glad to tell you that our team of scriptwriters is even now hard at work on a line for her to say. We'll let you know from time to time during the show how that line is progressing. Now back to the story.
Come on, Janet, let's just think how we're going to get to London. We'll never get any help from my parents. Just a moment. What's that noise? Oh, it's the town crier. How are things, town crier?
Oh, terrible. Couldn't be worse.
Got bad news to shout, have you?
Have I got bad news? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yay! Oh, yay! Here is the news. Bubonic plague carries off one adult in three. 99 years war could drag on into next year, says government. Thomas A. Becket murder mystery probes scandal. And one late score. Black Prince 1, rest of France 0. And now the headlines again.
But what's so depressing about that? That's just the same old news you've been shouting for the last year.
That's what depresses me. The news is already half out of date when they give it to me.
Two of London Broadcasting's pantomime, Tune Again, Whittington. Dick, thinly disguised as Paul Callan, and his faithful cat, not so thinly disguised as Janet Street Porter, have been recommended a good travel agent in their attempt to reach faraway London.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. You seek an excursion?
Yes,
I have the very thing. A 2-year cruise to the Middle East on our special Win Jerusalem Back from the Infidels package tour. You provide the sword, We provide the infidels. Only 200 groats down, and you bring us the rest of the loot at the end. I take it that you have your own white shirt with a big red cross on the front?
Well, actually, I don't really want to go to the Middle East.
Between you and me, sir, you're quite right. I have a lot of trouble with the holiday crusades, unfinished castles, hostile natives, the lot. What I'd recommend for you is the cheap Calais weekend. Book now while Calais is still British. Non-stop donkey to Dover, cross-channel galleon to wherever the wind takes you, work your way back up the coast to Calais, 2 nights in a top hotel, then back to Dover, wars permitting, of course, then straight back here. Only 4 months at the outside, unbeatable value. And your name is...
Well, actually, not Calais, is it? All I really want is...
I know what you want, sir. Be one of the inn people. Go to Canterbury, the Thomas a Becket weekend. Leave from Southwark every Wednesday, see where the Archbishop was struck down by his dastardly murderer. 4 wicked nights in Canterbury, we always say. Our little joke.
Look, all I really want to do is to go to London.
Ah, yes. Well, now, London. That could be difficult. Very hard to get to London. There's a fuel shortage, you know.
Fuel shortage?
Can't get the straw, sir. Can't get the straw for love or money. And there aren't any roads. And there's a 2-mile-an-hour restriction on most bridle paths. If I were you...
Yes?
I'd stay here. It's cheap and the country's looking at its best. Only 20 groats down and 40 a month.
But I want to go to London.
Then you'll have to walk.
Is that the quickest way, really?
Well, I suppose you could run.
Come on, Janet, we're wasting our time here.
And so Dick popped home and got a few things.
Well, goodbye, Mother.
Just a minute, Dick. Where do you think you're going with the grandfather clock and the bed and the family pewter and your, my wardrobe and your father's life savings?
To London.
You leave them right there. All you get is these 3 cheese sandwiches tied up in a red spotty handkerchief on the end of a stick. Don't you know anything about pantomime?
Oh, all right, Mother. Well, goodbye.
When you get to London, write your old mother and father every year.
Yes, Mother, goodbye.
And if you meet a nasty city girl with winning ways and a painted face and clever words and a come-hither look...
Yes, Mother?
Marry her. She might have money.
Goodbye, Mother.
Goodbye, and take the damn cat with you. And say goodbye to your father.
Goodbye, Father.
And so Dick set out on the weary road to London. It was a long journey, taking several months, but at long last, with only half a cheese sandwich left, he came to the top of Highgate Hill and looked down on London.
I say, look, Janet, do you think that can be London?
Meow.
Well, let's ask this passerby. Excuse me, sir.
Yes, mate?
Is that London town down there?
That's right, mate. And a nasty, smelly, smoky, dirty place it is, too. I wouldn't live there for all the spice in Araby.
But I'm going to London to make my fortune.
Oh, property developer, are you?
Property developer?
Oh, nothing but property development going on in London these days. They're pulling down all the old buildings and shoving up modern churches and abbeys and cathedrals as fast as they can. They all look the same. Nobody cares. It's only money they're interested in.
Well, no, I'm not actually a developer. I'm just a simple country lad.
Oh, just a simple country lad, eh? Well, now, how would you like to invest all your money in a little scheme I've got to find a quick way to China?
I'm not of that simple, baby.
Oh, shame. Fair enough.
So, if you could just tell me, all I want to know is the best way to get to London from here.
Oh, certainly. Well, look over there. See the line going down through the woods there? Well, that's the northern footpath. Take the northern footpath till you get to Tottenham Court Woods, then change to the Misery footpath through Oban Fields till you come to where they're building the new Fleet footpath. And you're there.
2 days later, Dick arrived in the city of his dreams, medieval London. The part of medieval London is being played by David Jessel, the distinguished actor. Older listeners may remember his first ever role as Three Haystacks and a Snatch of Birdsong. The acclaim which followed this performance encouraged him to go on to more demanding roles, and since then he has been appreciated by a wider public, playing a hedge, a travel agent's doorbell, 3 cheese sandwiches, and more recently, Highgate Hill. But without a doubt, his greatest triumph so far has been his beautifully observed portrayal of medieval London. In an exclusive interview with him, I gathered that he now feels ready to tackle the biggest part of all, the Great Fire of London.
Yes, I now feel ready to tackle the biggest part of all, the Great Fire of London. Now, many people might think this might be rather taxing for just one person to perform the whole part of the Great Fire of London, but I think I may be able to take it in my stride. You see, previous actors, in my view, have always rather overplayed the Great Fire, crunching bits of paper near the microphone and sort of doing great hisses of flame, crying for help and that sort of thing. I don't think that's really on a low-budget production like this. For the most part, I should be doing what I do on the morning show, and that is just sort of flicking my lighter and blowing it out and things like that. I think it gives a fair impression of what the fire was actually like when it was at its when it was at its height. And of course, the other reason why I've agreed to take this very important part is to make Paul Callan extremely jealous.
That was an exclusive interview with David Jessel. And now back to our exclusive interview between Paul Callan and Janet Street Porter.
Oh, Janet, London is so noisy.
Meow.
I said the hustle and bustle is almost frightening. I say, that's funny. It's gone rather quiet suddenly. Look, Janet, here comes an archetypal Londoner. Let's ask him for an explanation. Excuse me, we've only just arrived in London and...
Oh, yes, indeed, sir.
But we were wondering why everything has gone so frightfully quiet.
Oh, let's see now. Perhaps it's the weekend. No, that was last week. Maybe Tottenham Hotspurs are jousting away today. Or it could be another go of the plague. There's a lot of it around at the moment. Not feeling too good myself. But it's probably just another strike by BR.
BR?
Of course, you're new here, aren't you? BR is the London Commuter Service, British River. It's quicker by Thames, they say. Load of rubbish. One little headwind and the whole system falls to bits.
Oh, Emma, you think the BR's on strike today?
Oh, could be. We never hear the news here till it's too late. The daily newspaper only comes out once a month.
What about the town criers?
Don't make me laugh. The last town crier I heard was so out of date he was still on about the Battle of Hastings. Got the score wrong, too, but I knew better, see, because I'd seen the screen version.
Screen version?
That's right. Biotapestry, they call it. They don't make pictures like that anymore.
Well, none of this helps me at all. What I want to know is simply this. How do I make my fortune in time to find somewhere to stay for the night?
You in pantomime?
Well, I am, actually, yes.
You'll be all right. For first thing you know, there'll be a maiden in distress along. You'll rescue her. She'll take you to her rich father. He'll see you right, and before you know where you are, you'll be at the top. One word of warning, though.
Yes?
Out for Sir Herbert.
Janet, he's dead.
No.
Only one moment he was all right, and then what on earth happened?
Just who is this mysterious Sir Herbert? And why is he the wickedest man in London? LBC brings you full details in just a moment.
Authors, pantomime writers, do you have trouble getting rid of your characters? Do they go on and on talking when you really want to get back to the plot? What you need is
Black Death.
Yes, in a moment, Black Death can solve all your
And now back to the plot. Here is a warning to our more sensitive listeners. The villain of our pantomime has just made his first appearance, and those of you who are easily upset or of a nervous disposition may wish to turn to BBC Radio, which has just started a fascinating talk on Beethoven's laundry bills. I'm sure that most of you, though, will want to stay and hiss the villain with me. So let's just have a quick practice hit. Ready? Here he is again.
Ha 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 ha.
Well, come on, where were you? I couldn't hear a single hiss. I hope you don't think that just because you're sitting at home where I can't see you, you don't have to hiss as well. Let's do it once more. And this time I want you to put everything into it. Really spray the person next to you. Ready? Very good. Much better. Almost perfect. I tell you what, this time I won't help you. Just you at home, hissing. Think of it. A million people all over London.
There you too, Richard.
Open University Alphabet Course, Part 19. Got your paper hankies ready? Right. Absolutely fantastic. Marvellous. I had my head out of the window while you were hissing and it sounded
perfect,
wonderful.
Richard.
It turned quite damp suddenly too. So don't forget, every time the villain comes on, let's have a nice, big, juicy hiss. And so, as Dick and Janet roam the streets of London, paved not with gold but with cobbles, we take you to another part of the city, to Fleet Street. There, in a penthouse office on top of the tallest half-timbered block in London, towering tens of feet above the cobbles, behind a huge green leather-topped trestle table desk, sits the most evil man in London, Sir Herbert Fitzroy, demon press baron and proprietor of London's only newspaper, The Monthly Mail.
Perfect.
You like it, Sir Herbert?
Like it? I love it. The best headline of the year. Duke of York dies peacefully in his sleep. Little will they suspect.
Seems very ordinary headline to me, Uncle.
So it would, Basil, to a drivelling idiot like you who had the faintest idea what was in the Duke's bedtime drink.
You don't mean... poison?
Poison! Enough poison to kill the Duke of York and his 10,000 men.
Then I'd better change the headline to Duke of York murdered in his sleep, hadn't I?
What, you blithering medieval twit, and have me sent to the Tower?
You, Uncle? But why on earth?
Never mind, you pre-Renaissance saloon. Now, with the Duke of York out of my way and the Prince of Wales turned into a cinema, who is there who still stands between me and absolute power?
Absolute power, Sir Herbert?
You thundering dope, Basil. You've been the editor for 10 years. You still don't understand what I'm after, do you?
Well, I know you want better conditions for commuters.
No, Basil. I want to become the most powerful baron in the land.
Really?
And then the king's left-hand man.
Why left-hand?
Keeps his money in his left-hand pocket. Then, if the king should one day have a little accident, the throne would be empty. Then I could easily... you see what I'm driving at, don't you, Basil? Nudge, wink.
No.
Imbecile, why do I bother to tell you anything? If you weren't my sister's only son, I wouldn't have had to put up with your moronic questions. Now, bring me my list of enemies. Now, where's my secret list of enemies? Ha ha ha! There's the plan of the king's hidden passages. There's the alchemist's formula for turning gold into arsenic. Oh, there's a picture of me and the wife on holiday at Bognor. Ah, here we are. Here's the list. As I thought, all but one of my enemies are eliminated. Now there's only one man that stands between me and the king, and that's the Lord Mayor of London.
Sir Richard Attenborough, Uncle?
Oh, no, he's no threat to me anymore. It's this new man, the present Lord Mayor, Sir Sidney Greensleeve.
Big Will, you hear that?
Hear what, man?
He said, Sidney Greensleeve. Now, don't you think that that could make a right nice name for our two...
What, Sir Sidney Greensleeve now? I don't know. It could be too long for my fancy.
Well, man, maybe we could shorten your fancy and shorten it at the same time, eh?
Well, I reckon that we could call it Sir Sidney.
Yeah.
I don't know. I reckon there's still something missing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, keep at it, lads. Now, back to Sir Herbert.
Sir Sidney, a mere haberdasher, is the only man who thwarts my evil aims. Me, the head of the most mighty newspaper empire in the civilized world, and Scotland as well. Leader of a vast organization with more than 200 ex-monks working night and day to write up the early edition in longhand, and more than 50 draftsmen, a paid trade union rates, of course, slaving away on the woodcuts,
My broadsheets have made me master of the mass medieval media.
Many a mickle makes a muckle.
Basil. Now to devise a fiendish way to liquidate the Lord Mayor of London.
What's wrong, Uncle? Why are you standing terrified on the top of your leather-bound Twethel table desk, clutching your trouser leg, and pointing an abject fear at that little grey animal which has just come out of the mouse hole in the corner?
Okay, dear Basil, kill it. I hate mice. I cannot stand them. Take it away.
Here you are, Uncle. I've got it by the tail.
Do not come near me with it.
Can I have that wise then, Uncle?
Oh, yes, yes. Anything but get rid of it.
All right. I'm going to throw it out of the window.
Many animal lovers have just phoned us here at LBC to implore us not to let this harmless creature meet a violent end on the cobbles far below. I would like to reassure all of you that we have no intention of letting it fall to its death.
Look, Janet, did you see that? A little mouse fell out of the sky onto this bale of hay and landed completely unscathed.
Meow.
Oh, Janet, how often have I told you not to eat mice between meals? Disgusting animal.
The part of the mouse was played at very short notice by a slice of English pork pie. The slice of English pork pie is currently appearing in bit parts all over Janet Streetwater's lap.
Oh, Janet, we've been trudging the streets of London for 5 hours now, and we still haven't made our fortune. Oh, as for the beautiful young heiress on a runaway horse, some hope.
But just at that very moment, who should come round the corner but Mary, the beautiful daughter of the Lord Mayor of London.
Just our luck, Janet. Look, a beautiful heiress on the slowest horse in London.
As Dick stared gloomily at the approaching horse, there suddenly came a loud noise. Unused to the sound of houses falling off London Bridge, the horse panicked and bolted.
Help! Help!
This is our chance, Janet. After her.
And as they come to the corner of Cheapside, it's the Lord Mayor's daughter by 3 lengths from Dick and Janet, with Dick and Janet holding on very well as they turn into the alley corner. It's Dick and Janet, only 2 lengths now behind the distinctive purple wimple and scarlet gown of the Lord Mayor's daughter. Dick is in the brown tunic and doublet, remember, and Janet in the tortoiseshell outfit. And as they come down Ludgate Hill with 2 furlongs to go, it's almost neck and neck, and now I do believe they're going to take the last hurdle together, the famous Fleet Ditch. Up they go and...
Our chance, Janet. After her.
And Mary is floating powerfully down the far lane with that distinctive, frantic flailing of the arms which indicates a non-swimmer. She's down for the third time, but Dick and Janet are almost up to her now and overhauling her first. And at the finish, it's first Mary, second Dick, and a dead heat for third place between Janet and the horse.
I say, are you all right? Answer me. Oh, Janet, she's not breathing. Okay, I'd better give her the kiss of life.
Several minutes later, Dick and Mary were officially engaged.
That was marvellous, Dick. But first, I'm afraid you'll have to meet my father. But I want you to meet Dick, who just saved me from drowning in the Fleet Ditch and promised to marry me. Dick, this is my father, Sir Sidney Greensleeve, Lord Mayor of London. Father, this is Dick's faithful cat, Janet.
Hello, Dick.
Hello, sir.
Meow.
And I'm afraid the news is that the scriptwriters have still not been able to think of a line for Janet Streetwater, so let's go straight back to the action.
So you want to marry my daughter, dear Dick?
Absolutely, sir.
Become rich and famous?
Yes, sir.
And Lord Mayor too, I expect.
Gosh, yes, please, sir.
And so you shall in time. I shall make you apprentice, Lord Mayor, Dick, but it will mean starting at the bottom. You'll find a mob and a bucket by the stairs. Get the doorsteps clean and bright. Then do the brasses. Then clean the windows. Then make a fortune. Then we'll see about you marrying my daughter.
Yes, sir.
Meanwhile, Mary and I are going out to the annual dance of the City Guild of Ex-Lord Mayors, at which I'm guest of honor. Come on, Mary.
Bye, Dick.
Oh, Janet, we don't seem to have done at all well. Here we are, my first day in London, engaged to a top society heiress. Yet I don't seem to have got very far at all. I mean, I wish we could be at the ball, exchanging badinage with the nobility, instead of cleaning the doorstep. Oh, I'll never make a fortune this way at all. What do you think, Janet?
We're very lucky at this point to say that we have managed to secure an exclusive interview with Janet Street Porter. She's going to tell us something about the art of playing pantomime animals. Janet?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say about the art of playing animals in pantomimes is that it's a complete waste of time as far as this one's concerned. Because when I was invited along here today, I naturally thought that I would have a lot of the best lines, get into some good dance routines, not that I can dance, and meet a few stars like Paul Callan, instead of which I've been sitting here for the last half hour saying the sound I refuse to say because it's degrading to women. Mark you, I could be worse off. There's a chap sitting next to me who was asked to come along to play a mouse that's been written out of the script. So all I want to say is, I've had enough of showbiz and seeing my name in lights, and you can finish the pantomime by yourself. And if there are any more sounds coming out of your radio sets, the sort that I've refused to say so far, but my standing has, they're not by me. They're a bad imitation of me by Paul Callan.
That was an exclusive interview with... Oh dear, never mind. Let's go straight back to Dick, sitting alone except for his faithful cat, Janet, played by himself.
Oh, Janet, I'm just so lonely. All I have for company is a skinny old cat, 3 cockroaches, 4 mice, 2 rather tiresome toads, and a rather boring pumpkin. If only I had a break.
Do your fiancé and her father go out dancing without you? Are you tired of cats, toads, mice, cockroaches, etc., which we all know are fine for a while but can damage your health? Then it's time you had a fairy godmother.
Is the London Broadcasting Company, LBC, the independent voice of radio news.
Our next news will be at 6:30, and now we go back to LBC's Christmas pantomime.
Welcome back to the continuing saga of Tune Again, Dick Whittington.
Help, save me. God, a little fly is caught on a flypaper up there. Look, just let me pull it off. Look, ow, ow. Off you come, you little fly. Oh, dear, you poor thing, you've left your wings behind. Do you think perhaps you could manage to be a beetle instead?
I could try, I suppose.
Well, that seems to be all right, but may I ask who exactly you are?
I'm your fairy godmum, and I can make a coat for mice and toads and pumpkins, but not from a cockroach.
So that's awfully kind of you, but I don't really want a coat.
I'll change your rags to fine couture. I'll make you 6 feet tall. I'll part your hair the other side and send you to the ball.
Well, really, I'd rather not.
But when the clock strikes midnight clear, you're back to Cinderella, dear.
Oh, hold on for a moment. Look, I'm not Cinderella. I mean, I wasn't when I last looked this morning, but I'm, in fact, Dick Whittington.
Oh, no, I've mucked it again. Don't tell the agency, for heaven's sake, because they said they'd only give me this one last chance. I made a right mess of it last week. Aladdin got quite a shock when I jumped out of the lamp, said I'm your fairy godmother and fell in the orchestra. You don't seem to have an orchestra in this show, that's one thing. Now, is there anything I can do before I go?
Well, all I really want to do is to make my fortune and become Lord Mayor.
Well, that's quite easy. You know Sir Herbert Fitzroy?
Yeah, is he one of the Berkshire Fitzroys?
Well, you will. He controls the medieval newspaper world.
Yes?
And wants to be Lord Mayor.
Really, yes?
So all you have to do is find a faster news service than his newspapers and put him out of business.
Yes?
I wish you wouldn't. You sound as if you're filling in a form.
I'm awfully sorry, but look, tell me a bit more. What is this faster news service?
Lord bless us, you've got to do some of the work. It'll turn up, I expect. Now I've got to find Cinderella before the ball's over. You'll be successful, have no fears.
Well, Janet, I bet I ought to really do the steps, and then we'll pop out and look for this faster news service.
We've just received word that the writers have in fact now thought of a line for Janet Street Porter. But since Janet Street Porter has now gone home, I shall speak the line.
Oh, that's not bad for a beginner.
Very good, then.
Right, Janet, let's do the steps.
Dick opened the door, and there stood a short, balding man of Italian extraction with a thick accent of the same origin, carrying a large suitcase.
Buonasera, signor. Good evening. What a lovely cat you have there. Get up. My name is Macaroni, and my motto, if you want it, I got it pretty damn certain. Of course, it sounds better in Italian. In this suitcase, I got everything that you need. You need brushes, I got the brushes. You need little brushes for the little teeth, I got the big brushes for the big teeth.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Macaroni, because we don't actually need any brushes.
Okay, then how's about a nice encyclopedia? I got the encyclopedia, got every word in the world in it. I show you. We look up a word. Let's look up the word brush. Here we are, brush. See, teeth. Okay, let's look up the word teeth. Here we are, teeth. The dentist.
Oh, rubbish.
Okay, we look up rubbish. Here we are. Rubbish. Useless kind of object like a brushes, a teeth, encyclopedias, and onions. Hey, I got onions. You want onions?
I'm very sorry, Signor Macaroni, but I really have so much housework to do. I've got to scrub the doorstep, polish the brasses, do the windows, then I...
Ah, if you do the housework, you need a radio to listen to while you work.
A radio?
Sure, that's right. It's a kind of music box. Thousands of housewives in London got on my radios, and they all got the same music while they work. Here's a radio, you see? Just a little itsy-bitsy box with a cat's whisker, a crystal, a few wires, and a 6 high-impedance ceramic semiconductors. You just listen.
Good. How on earth does it work?
How should I know? I don't build them, I just sell them. My card, Luigi Macaroni, sales manager UK of Leonardo da Vinci Limited of Florenza. That's me. You want a radio?
Oh, yes, please.
That's a 25 gross.
That's funny. Sir Sidney should have been there years ago. I wonder if he's had some sort of trouble with the coach. I say, would you mind if I just went out to the stable and had a look, Mr. Macaroni?
I'd go for your life. I'd come with you.
At the moment, I can hear voices inside the stable. Let's listen.
Ha, 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 ha. So you were going to the ball for Lord Mayor's, were you, Sir Sidney? How suitable, how very suitable, because in a few minutes you will be the latest ex-Lord Mayor.
What's he trying to say, Uncle?
Well, Basil, from my wide experience, I guess he's trying to say either, you'll never get away with this, or take your filthy handkerchief out of my mouth. Hard to tell. Now, Basil, I want you to take this large can of petrol.
Yes, Uncle?
Sprinkle it liberally all over the straw in the stable. It doesn't matter if you spill a little bit on the Lord Mayor.
Yes.
Get out your matches.
Got them.
Now, in a moment, I'm going to be leaving the stables. What I want you to do then is count to 10, light a match, and drop it on the straw. Are there any questions?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, just one?
Yes, Basil.
What comes after 7?
Never mind, Basil. Just count up to 7. And by the way, Basil, if I don't see you again...
Yes?
Did you put that headline I wanted in the paper?
You mean Lord Mayor and Daughter and Fleet Street Editor perish in Mystery Braze?
That's right.
Yes, I did.
Good. Now I'm just going out for a breath of fresh air and I'll be back in a moment to see if you're well done. I mean, if you, that you've done a well. A goodbye, a Basil.
1, 2, 3, 5... No, that's wrong. 1, 2, 3... Quick, right, Macaroni, let's stop him.
Okay, I come.
All right, drop that match. I mean, don't drop that match. 5, 6...
With a single well-aimed blow, Dick extinguished the match and the hapless Basil went down for the count.
8, 9, 10... Are you all right, Sir Sidney?
Yes, thanks to you, my boy. Especially if we get in a lot of a terrible drag.
Don't worry, there'll be some more along in just a moment. But anyway, are you all right, Mary?
Yes, thanks, Dick.
Well, we'll get onto the ball then, Dick, while you get back to those steps.
Just a moment, actually. Do you know how I knew you weren't at the ball?
No, how?
I heard it on the radio.
What?
Well, it's a long story, actually, but Mr. Macaroni here...
And it was a long story, but Dick explained to the Lord Mayor how Mr. Macaroni's ingenious employer, Mr. Da Vinci, had invented a method of... Well, as I said, it was a long story, but the upshot was that they realized that in Macaroni's radio they had the perfect weapon to beat Sir Herbert Fitzroy and shatter his newspaper empire. The next day, Dick and Macaroni set out to install the transmitter of Radio Whittington on Ludgate Hill.
All right, there's thousands of people in London got my radios. So all we do is switch on and, oh boy, would they be surprised to get to the news. Okay, Whittington? That's a no good.
And so next day, they installed the transmitter of Radio Whittington on Muswell Hill.
Okay, Sunshine, let's have it again.
And so next day, they installed the transmitter on Highgate Hill.
Okay, off we jolly well go.
Oh, it's no good, Macaroni. It's just never going to work.
Of course it'll work. It just needs another little twiddle. Tune again, Whittington.
Meanwhile, Sir Sidney and Mary sat anxiously by their radio set at home, waiting for the first broadcast to come through.
I'm sure he'll do it, Father.
I hope you're right. 3 days listening and not a thing yet. And he still hasn't done the doorstep.
Just a moment. Something's coming through.
You're tuned to Radio Whittington on 417 cubic medium wave and 47 bushels VHM. This is Dick Whittington bringing you the latest national and international news. The world's first radio news station began broadcasting today from a small tent on top of Highgate Hill, where the weather is fine and breezy, although I can see some clouds over Croydon. In London today, a triumph for Italian super salesman Luigi Macaroni, who is masterminding the technical side of Radio Whittington, which at this very moment is bringing you the national and international news.
The Chancellor of the Exchequer said today there could be more extensive power shortages. Candles, wax tapers and flaming torches were in short supply everywhere. So he urged all Londoners to stop learning to read, go to bed at sunset, and behave themselves while they're there. He also announced a temporary ban on burning witches at the stake. On the second day of the Feudal Party conference at Blackpool, the Feudal Women's Association voted overwhelmingly to retain capital punishment for whistling in the street and bottom pinching. A motion to make queue jumping in shops punishable by death was narrowly defeated. A Scottish scientist today announced a remarkable discovery in the study of spiders. Robert the Bruce, who's been conducting experiments in a cave, reported that he had observed a spider trying no less than 8 times to climb up his cobweb and falling down again. This proved beyond all doubt that spiders were every bit as stupid as he thought. A police message: will anyone who saw two princes in the Tower being suffocated early today please keep their big mouths shut? More news from Italy, where the scientist Galileo claims to have evidence that the Earth goes round the sun. His fellow scientists have commented that if what he says is true, how does he explain apples falling off trees onto people's heads? Our science correspondent comments, all this is beyond me. Travel and weather news. All paths to Canterbury are blocked again today, but the rest of England is quite clear. There may be a few isolated outbreaks of bubonic plague. Pilgrims are warned to avoid travellers telling dirty tales. In Switzerland, it was reported that a certain William Tell had claimed to be able to shoot an apple off a child's head at 100 yards. Members of the British Magic Circle said that any of them could do the same any time, any place, but refused to do so in public. In the city today, shares fell another 10 points when it was rumoured that the Sherwood Forest Finance Company had failed in its bid to take over the Sheriff of Nottingham's private coach. Confidence was somewhat restored when Robin Hood, chairman of Sherwood Forest, made a personal appearance in the stock exchange and shot dead 10 of London's leading stockbrokers. Racing at Agincourt, and the result of the 2:30. First, Henry 5-1, second, King of France 100-1 against, and the rest ran. And that's the news.
And now it's over to our sporting editor, Ian Marshall, with the results.
Cat racing from Dockford. 6, Geese are laying 7-1. 5, Gold Rings 4-1. 4, Calling Birds 12-1. 3, French Hens was 2-1 favourite, and 4 ran.
We'll be having an exclusive interview with Mr. Macaroni later.
And at that very moment, Sir Herbert Fitzroy sat gloomily in his office, surveying the circulation figures.
Curses, curses. I can't believe it. Down from 10,000 a month to 23. Only 23 copies and all to the same fish and chip shop. It's this man Whittington at the bottom of it. Basil, Basil!
Sorry, Uncle. I was just listening to the news on Radio Whittington.
Listening to the news? You can't listen to news. You can only read it.
But listen, Uncle.
Saddest man in London today? Sir Herbert Fitzroy, whose mighty newspaper empire has just been made obsolete at a stroke by Radio Whittington, now bringing you the national and international news. And it's to the Middle East we go next for news and the latest Crusades report. So come in, Middle East correspondent Giles Walker. Come in, Giles, what's the news?
And the news for the Middle East today, rather 4 months ago, required. Crusaders and infidels have agreed to a ceasefire, which may well lead to peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Of course, things could have changed a lot while I've been away. Giles Walker, Middle East correspondent, Highgate Hill.
And we'll be hearing from him again in just 8 months. Meanwhile, a look at the price of fuel. Just how low are our stocks of kindling?
Oh, turn it off, Basil. Oh, it's no good. I can't compete with that. I'm going to sell up and retire to a ditch in the country. This is the end.
Well, not quite actually, though pretty nearly. Dick and Mary got married. Sir Sidney eventually cleaned his own front doorstep. Sir Herbert Fitzroy joined Radio Whittington to run his own shout-in program. Macaroni went back to Italy to help Leonardo da Vinci develop the helicopter. And Janet Street Porter sent a jolly nice letter saying she hoped she hadn't given the impression that she disliked pantomimes. Well, that's about all, really, except for one very interesting development on Radio Whittington.
Dick Whittington?
That's right.
Harry Calthorpe's the name, grocer in Bread Lane. Look, I've been listening to your radio programme and I had an idea. I'd like you to mention my grocery on your programme. I'd mention it between news programmes. I feel that I could see my way clear to making it worth your while. Say, 200 groats?
Oh, I don't know.
300?
Right. But what sort of mention would you like?
Well, I've written this little song. It goes something like this.
Find your grocery in Bread Lane, where the figs from Turkey or grapes from Spain come to Calthorpe's, the grocer's of Spain, next door to Di Williams, the dairy. Buy at the grocery store. Open weekdays from 9 to 4. Spend much less money and save much more when you do all your shopping at Calthorpe.
Was recorded and edited by Howard Yentis. The play was produced by John Snow.